Evening falls on the grassy hills at the western edge of the Rift Valley. Tall men and skinny boys carry spears as they bring the cattle in for the night. Soon they'll light bonfires to keep marauding elephants at bay. Inside a mud hut, five teenage boys sit before an open fire, rocking back and forth as they sing. It's not for show. This is how they entertain themselves once the cattle are in and their homework is finished. Aside from a plastic bucket, there's nothing remotely modern about this place. No window, no chimney. The air is thick with smoke. Nenesi is 15 years old. He's in sixth grade. He missed 3 years of school because of famine. The farthest he's been from home is to the potholed highway about 15 miles from here. He says his dream is to be a teacher and move to the United States. But eventually, he says, he'd like to come back home.
If I were to get an opportunity to go to America and have an advanced education, then I would definitely have to come back home and invest here. I would like to use my education and my acquired wealth to help my people.
Nenesi's uncle, Sammy Tarakwe, is the chief of the district. The hut belongs to one of his three wives. He says his nephew's dream makes perfect sense, both for him and for his people.
A lot of things are wearing out. Like now, you see, land is becoming small, the population is becoming high, and the best way now for getting their normal bread in life is to be educated.
So we come to school, we compete with the rest of the world, or the world, isn't it?
In the morning at the local schoolhouse, teacher Wantai Karompo lectures a dozen eighth graders. They sit at wooden desks wearing tattered blue sweaters and shorts. Today's topic is Kenya's colonial legacy.
For example, the kind of education which now we are learning, is what? Is it good or bad? It is?
When the British introduced this kind of schooling a century ago, the Maasai simply refused to go. Colonial officials used to raid Maasai villages, dragging the boys off to boarding school. To get here today, these kids walked through scrubland full of hyenas and jackals, leopards and lions. Ernest Tobiko is the head teacher.
Now that most of us are Maasais, we serve as an example. We also went to school, and despite having gone to school, we still kept our cultural practices. The only difference is that we don't do them to the deepest, the way somebody who has not gone to school will do it.
Life for most Maasai is still guided by tradition, though, especially when it comes to questions of gender. That's where the old ways and the new are most often at odds. Down a dirt track from the school, about 20 people sit crowded in a tiny hut, passing a cup of homemade beer. A girl sits in a corner, a spectacular beaded headdress rising from her shaven head. Today is her wedding day. May the girl and her husband become good people, they say. May they respect their elders. May God accept them. Outside, an old man named Oloiboni Ole Pareyo stands in the shade of a thorn tree. He wears a red plaid blanket tight around him like a shawl. His elongated earlobes hang halfway to his shoulders. He says kids learn more from rituals like this one than they do from any government school.
I've heard it said that those that don't accept the education are stupid or foolish or backward. But my question is, now that you have embraced something alien and you have ditched your culture, what do you become?
Let Maasai children be who they really are, he says, not someone else's idea of what they should be. A pickup truck comes and takes the bride away. It's an arranged marriage. She's 15 years old and finished with school. Early marriage was supposed to be the fate of Sarah Parakwo, a 17-year-old in her first year at St. Mary's Secondary School in the market town of Narok. Her father was poor, with only 15 cows.
My father told me that he don't have money to educate me. He told me that the solution is that he will give me away to other family to be married. I told him me don't want to be married, father, because I'm still young. I want to continue with my education. He told me, if you refuse to be married, I will beat you. I told him, you cannot beat me and I cannot wait for you to give me out. So I will go to look for somebody who will educate me.
Sarah ran away and ended up here. She says she wants to study to be a nurse.
I want to help my community. I want to help my parents so that they will see that I will be able to do something better.
Mary Nasui Kuyapan is the principal of St. Mary's. She says Maasai culture has a long way to go when it comes to the treatment of girls. Most parents now send their daughters to primary school, but after that, early marriage and circumcision, also known as female genital mutilation, are still the rule. She thinks the more girls like Sarah insist on staying in school, the faster those practices will stop.
Because I believe when you educate a woman, you educate the whole nation. You educate the whole family. So I believe it is high time all women got empowered. And it is only through education that we can get empowered.
This room here is going to be our student center.
Empowerment is the idea behind Maasai Education Discovery, a nonprofit organization that recently moved to a two-story building at the east end of Narok. Koitamet Olekina is executive director. He says there's been little resistance by the Maasai to a recent law that made primary school compulsory. The challenge now is to get more kids through secondary school and college.
As far as education is concerned, we have very, very few people we can actually claim are educated in this country as Maasai. That's why the Maasai Education Discovery is here to bridge that gap.
The program has ambitious plans, a library, high-speed internet, even a distance learning arrangement with the University of Massachusetts. Many of the projects are aimed specifically at girls, including scholarships for rescue cases like Sarah. Olekina says the Maasai have to decide which of their traditions make them stronger and which only hold them back.
We have realized that by rejecting the current education, we are suffering more than gaining. And really, the question here is for our people to preserve themselves. They must know the tricks that their enemies are using to fight them.
Back out in the bush, about 40 children dressed in traditional clothing stand in front of their primary school, singing of the valor of Maasai warriors. It was equal parts pride and fear that kept their parents and grandparents from finishing school. It may be equal parts pride and fear that keep these children from leaving.